We're in Masechtas Brachos. We are on Lamed Hayim and Aleph. We're going to start by the new Mishnah, by the new Perek, the sixth Perek. The sixth Perek, as we're going to see, is very deceiving. The Mishnah seems like it's one of the easiest Mishnayos in Shas, and therefore you think it's one of the easiest Perekim in Masechtas Brachos. It's clearly one of the more challenging ones because it discusses what brachos we make on various foods. And those halachos are actually quite complex, and at least we'll touch upon some of them today. Okay. Let's see what the Mishnah says. Ketzen mevarchin al haperos. So what is the proper bracha that one says on peros, on fruit? So al peros ilan, so there's peros can be defined in two different ways, because we even call a vegetable peros. Is a bray pri ha'etz, bray pri ha'adama. So peros is actually a very loose translation of things that grow. Vegetables are considered in the bracha that we say bray pri, right? Ha'adama. But it's real. Obviously, it's a vegetable.
Well, certain things like tomatoes are considerably a vegetable. Fruit, really, I've heard.
Right.
Forth, you know.
Yeah, tomatoes are a fruit. They say it's true. So let's see. So
when it must also be.
It must be. It must be healthy also. Al peros ilan. So when it comes to the fruits that grow on trees, hu oimer brei peretz. So the bracha you say is, of course, we know brei peretz chutz min yayin, excluding wine, even though the grapes also grow from vines and trees. Shel hayayin hu oimer brei pri hagafen. We have a more specific bracha when it comes to wine. I think we're going to discuss why it's necessary by wine to have a specific bracha. What it just be incorporated. What's that? The question is, saying brachos in general, is it a deraisa or a rabbanon? That the Gemara is going to establish. That's afterwards, though.
Right.
That's afterwards. Before, we're going to see if there's also deraisa. We're going to end up establishing that it's derabbanon. It's a svara. It's a logic that anything you eat, you're supposed to make a bracha before. But we'll get to that much later on. The aperos aretz, when it comes to the fruit or things that grow on the ground, who oimer brei pri ha'adama, chutz ben apas, shel apas oimer hamotzi lech min ha'aretz. When it comes to bread, you say hamotzi lech min ha'aretz. And some of the farshim also wonder how come when it comes to this bracha, you have these words which are really synonymous. When it comes, you have brei pri adama. Adama means ground. And then when it comes to bread, you say hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz. So it's interesting. It should really be similar. Obviously, so the different bracha. Again, obviously, bread is chashuv, so we attribute a separate bracha to it. But the question is, why would we choose to switch from hadama to aretz?
Wheat is one of the seven grains, which is really different than a fruit, per se, or a vegetable, which they have to be a fruit. They have a shell on the outside. They have this. Bread is a different animal. You know, wheat is a different animal.
So how does that define between the word aretz and adama is the question.
Well, no, but I know, but because it is a different animal, it's one of the seven grains, it should be a different thing. Adama, you know, that's maybe to differentiate between a vegetable, a fruit that grows from the ground, a potato, things that come from the ground. But this is a different, it's not the same, whatever, you're not getting the same product out of the ground. You're not getting a fruit or a vegetable, you're getting a stalk, grain of wheat, which is a whole different thing.
I thought perhaps you were going to say similar to what the Tiferes Yisrael says. He says that when it comes to bread, in order for it to grow, it initially has to be in a much deeper part into the ground. However, when it comes to vegetables are growing basically
above the ground.
So therefore, that's the difference. The word aretz represents the actual ground. Adama represents like the earth, which is like the surface, the top. That's how he defines the difference.
The ball game, though, yeah. Isn't that if you turn certain things in, we don't recognize them, we change the bracha.
In the event that we cannot discern what a food is, then
right,
the bracha changes as well. Yeah, we'll have to see exactly when that rule applies.
So maybe that's
complex.
Bread also, because it grows as grain, but it doesn't look like what it comes out of the ground. It's made of whole of
right.
Maybe you take after you wash it off.
Certain things have hashivas, I think, and certain things don't have hashivas. Am I right?
That's yeah. I mean, both things that are being said are true. There's bread and wine. Clearly, there's an element of hashivas. That's
right.
Why it's separate bracha. And perhaps there's also this element of that the way that it grew is not the way it looks at its final product.
Back to the big one, the modern one, the pizza fight.
What's the pizza fight?
Well, the pizza fight is it's bread, really.
Right.
No matter how you turn it, it's flour and water.
Right. So that we're going to see the Gemara in this parak is going to talk about a category called pasta baba kisnin, literally bread which is in like a pocket. And the question exactly what does that mean? And does pizza fall under that category? So that's where it gets a little bit complex.
But another thing about barbecue, if you ate a grape, you make a barbecue rate, right?
Yeah.
But yayin is because you're changing again. You're changing the bread. I said that between both of bread.
Yeah.
Therefore,
but what happens when you eat a wine grape?
Still not if it's in shape of a grape. It's a grape. It's not always not wine. It's not processed into wine.
Well, that's the hashivas.
We're going to see exactly what creates that element of hashivas. But these are the four brachos that we're familiar with. As of now, this Mishnah doesn't talk about shakol. Another Mishnah will later on. But Hadama Ha'etz and Hamotzi and Hagafen, four of the major brachos that we say all the time, this is the Mishnah that we just saw. But we don't get any more specific than that. Ve'al Hayarakos, because even when it comes to vegetables, Omer Brei Pri Adama. It's interesting how now the Mishnah discusses Yarakos. Yarakos, vegetables, you also say Ha'adama. So the Mishnah mentions two different things. It mentions fruits that grow by the ground, right? Peros Ha'aretz and Yarakos. They're not the same thing. Exactly what the difference is, that Bracha is still Ha'adama, vegetables, and Peros Ha'aretz, fruits that grow from the actual ground as opposed to on a tree. Now, Rabbi Yehuda, the reason why we mention Yarakos separately, even though the bracha is the same, because Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Of course, we don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, as we all know. But Rabbi Yehuda is very, very particular as to the bracha that's recited. He says, Borei mine ditzoin, that a person should say that Hashem was the creator of various species of grasses and vegetation. And therefore, what we see, as we'll see in Rashi, that Rabbi Yehuda wants you to say more specific brachos than the generic ones that we say.
What if you buy something like banana bread, zucchini bread? They're breads, but they're made from vegetables.
Right, that's we're going
to
see that. Yeah. All these things are the Gemara talks about. It gets very complex, but those are the things that we're familiar with, and all of the things that we're familiar with is because of this parak. Okay, it's all buried deep into this parak, we'll see. So let's see Rashi. Keith Mubarakin, Chos Midiyayin. Shemetai Chashivu So, as was mentioned, that because of the Chashivus attributed to wine, there's exactly what the Chashivus is, we make Kiddush on it, or the fact in itself it has, so there's something unique about it. Kabul Obrachal Atzmo, Bechin Bepah, Bechin Apas. Because of the Chashivus, Rashi says that's the reason why a bracha is said on its own, a separate special bracha, so too when it comes to bread. Brim mine ditzon, says Rashi, lefi shiesh b'chlal pri adama, ditzon v'zeroyim, because it falls under the category of things that grow from the ground, which is vegetation, kagon kitnios, legumes, beans. Rabbi Yehuda boy heker bracha chol min. Rabbi Yehuda is very strict, that requires you should know different brachos, which fortunately we have enough problem with the ones we have. Rabbi Yehuda would have made things even more confusing. Now the very top Tosfos, yeah. When it's considered, what bracha do we make?
That grows out of the ground the same way.
Right.
Or
we We make a hadama on the strawberry.
Not from an eighth.
Yeah. We'll have to define why the brachos are the way that they are. It's not necessarily the way we translate a fruit or a vegetable. Like the famous one is, Gemara's not going to talk about, I don't think, but a banana.
Banana, well, because it grows on a vine.
Yeah, but it doesn't grow upside down. Isn't that the whole thing also? That a banana grows, I think, upside down?
We say a hadama because a tree, the way the tree operates is that after you take off the fruits next season will grow back. When it comes to bananas, the way that they're taken off, the next year, the same amount of bananas will not grow on those vines or whatever it may be. Yeah, but it's not going to be to the same extent. So therefore, they're more. What's the word? Annuals. Whatever they have to be. They have to be constantly replanted. So therefore, it's more like a vegetable.
It's an annual. It's not a. It's not a. It doesn't recur.
Perennial, right? I'm not sure if maybe sometimes they do grow, but maybe not as much. But that's the reason why halakhically we define that as a vegetable, right? Or that's why we say hadamah. But again, the Gemara is going to discuss all of these things shortly. If we look at the top Tosos asks the same question, or Tosos is bothered why the Gemara or why the Mishnah takes a quantum leap. Says Ketzim Mevarchim. What bracha do we say? Now, when it came to the very first Mishnah in this Masechta, way back on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, they talk about Memosai Karen Shema Be'arvit. When's the first time you can say the Shema? And the Gemara said Tana Hecha Koi Tektana Memosai. What do you mean? When? How do we know you have an obligation to say the Shema? First, you have to establish: is there an obligation? And once you know that there is a Chiyuv, then we can start understanding the details, the parameters of this requirement.
There is a chiyuv.
By what?
Well, Shema's in the Torah.
I'm saying, but the Gemara did ask the question, well, the Mishnah immediately said, when do you say the Shema? And the Gemara, the first Gemara's question in Shas is, how do you know that you have to do it? So it's interesting that you could ask the same thing. I'm just explaining what Tosis is going to say right now. We'll stay inside. Ketzim Mevarchim, what exactly is the bracha you say? How do we know you have to make a bracha? So if you look in Tosos over here, Lo Shayach L'Hakshos, it's not possible, not that one would ask the same question of Tana Hecha Koi, where is the Tana of our Mishnah coming across the Tani Ketzad, that he begins jumping and saying, what bracha do you say? Kedeparach Beresh Mechilton, as it was mentioned at the beginning, in parentheses, Daf Beis Amud Aleph. That was the question that was asked by Kriya Shema, but we have no right to begin our Gemara to say, Tana Hecha Koi. How does the Tana even know there's an obligation? Why? Because it must be that we already know that there's an obligation, even without any sources, any Torah sources. By Shema, you need a Pasuk, because logically, how do you know you have to say the Shema? How would you know, based on your own logic, there's an idea of saying certain sentences? Yeah, the Torah says it. I know, but based on your own logic of what you're supposed to do, even without studying the Torah, you wouldn't know to say the Shema. It's only because the Torah tells you to do it. However, when it comes to a bracha, that's not the case. When it comes to a bracha, you don't need the Torah to tell you that you should say a bracha before you eat. Mishum dehacha svaruhu, because it's logic. Logic should dictate that every single time hulavarach that you should make a bracha. Kedemasik b'gemara, because the Gemara is going to try to establish maybe the obligation of saying a bracha is d'oraisa, and then we're going to end up basically saying it's not possible. We're going to shlug that up. We're going to say it's not possible. And therefore we end up establishing the following reason. It's a quote of the Gemara we're going to see later on. D'osel lehanos min ha'olam hazeh b'lo bracha. Very simple expression. It's usur to get any hana, any benefit from this world without a bracha. And that's just a svar. That if the entire world is a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Hashem grants us all these wonderful things in this world, so before we're able to partake of it, so we have to make a bracha. It's only proper. And therefore, Tosfos is saying that we didn't have to establish do I need to make a bracha? Because you should logically already know that, of course, I have an obligation to make a bracha. Of course, I have to thank, acknowledge the source of God.
Yeah. You're saying that out of natural instinct of a person, it's like saying thank you to somebody,
right,
or anybody who gives you.
Right.
Where is the foundation of the first place that we know we have to say a bracha?
Based on this logic, there is no actual scriptural source to require you to make a bracha. It's just based on logic.
But we know
that
we
don't need
back,
a source.
You can even go back to Cain and Hevel that they gave.
Could be.
They were thanking God for he was growing, you know, right, this and he had animals and stuff like that. And we're giving a, they're making sacrifices, obviously,
right,
as a thank you to...
could be. That could be a source. Could be Noah after he left the Teva. It could be, yeah, different places that we find our, the gratitude that's being shown.
But the wording of the first brachas came from where?
Or God.
Yeah, I mean, the Chacham, it's the Chachamim that instituted the Nusach of the brachos. It's not found any source anywhere, a bracha. And the question is, what is the purpose of a bracha? Is to acknowledge that Hashem did this. So on some level, the question is, it's like a question that like kids ask, but it's a legitimate. Like, did Moshe Rabbeinu make a bracha? Right? Did so? Okay, fine. There's the Chazal that our avos did all the mitzvos, even the dinei derabanan and everything. But the whole purpose of a bracha is to remember and to take a moment to recognize God created this. The reality is that our sages and those people who lived in the Midbar, they were so aware of it. They knew what was going on. They acknowledged Hashem even before they ate it.
They had first-hand experience of Hashem as opposed
right
to us today. They had mitzvos, miracles performed all around them
right
every single day.
So we need that reminder.
Right.
We need to actually say it to remember it. They may not have had to. So the Chachamim may have instituted these brachos in order that we should to do so. But the idea, on the other hand, the also lehanos min olam hazeh b'lo bracha, that language doesn't seem to mention that even if I know something in my mind, I still have to say it, right? So on the other, I'm actually disagreeing with what I'm saying. It's possible to say that even in the time of the Midbar, even the time before the Chazal instituted a bracha, they had to at least say something to acknowledge that God created this, because it's one thing to know it, it's another thing to say it, right? So sometimes we have to communicate more effectively. Just because I feel that I love you doesn't help. I need to actually express my feelings toward you.
It's
the same thing.
Old Yiddish expression, it seems like an equivalent of kostnishkein gelt. Saying it doesn't mean, talk is cheap.
Right.
You really show what you mean.
Right. So that's perhaps the element of saying a bracha. Inami, let's continue Tosos. Let's try to get a little bit into the Gemara too. Yesh Leimer, it's possible you can answer another explanation. The Koyim Asnisan Demisha Mesli. Perhaps our Mishnah is a little bit of a connection of a segue to the previous Perek, which is a little bit of a stretch because Perek Mishmeso is not Perek number 4, it's Perek number 3. So what did it mention Mishmeso? Diktani Balkari Mavarach Lacharim and Mavarach Lafanav. So it talks about a person who is Tamei, a Balkari. It talks about the things he's allowed to do and things he's not allowed to do. He's allowed to say a Brach Lacharav, that's benching, because that's Diraisa. Vein Mavarach Lafanav. We don't want someone who is in such a status of Tumah to make a Brach Lafanav. So we already see that the Vahachinami Shayachach Lavarach Al Kol Dabar Vadabar. And here it mentions you can about making a Brach on all things. Therefore, mentions now what bracha do you make? In other words, the second answer is it's not that this is just thrown at us that we've never heard any concept of making a bracha before. There was already a mission in the third parak that talked about when you're allowed to say what a balkari is allowed to do, and he's not allowed to say a bracha lafanav. So we already were introduced to a concept of a bracha lafanav, the brachos before we eat, and now once that was established in the third parak, that there's a concept of making brachos before we eat. Once that was said, now Ketz Mevarchim, what are those brachos? So that's how Tosos addresses it. Of course, the Gemara over there does not talk about how we know that there's an obligation. That the Gemara is going to ask right now. So anyway, that at least that addresses that one point that again, why it's necessary, why we make this jump. So the first answer is it's logical. The second answer of Tosfos, it may not be logical necessarily that you would make a bracha, but it's already established from our previous Mishnah. So now let's see the Gemara. Min hanimili. From where do we know these things, these words? Namely, how do we know that a bracha needs to be said? Right. So this is actually a complex piece of Gemara, and you'll notice if we eyeball all the way down to the last medium-sized line, there's two dots, right? And the Gemara ends up saying, Svarhu asul adam shehana min ha'olam hazeh b'lo bracha. Right, that's what the Gemara is going to say. L'maskanas ha'gemara, it's just svara. Right, that you cannot make a bracha, you cannot eat anything, you cannot derive any benefit from this world without making a bracha. So up in everything from the words minahani mili all the way to those two dots are going to be different ways to try to prove, perhaps even from the Torah, from Sukkim, that there's an obligation. So now let's go to the top. We're not going to obviously get to the two dots. We'll at least see the first thought. The Tan Rabban. The Pasuk says, Kodesh Hilulim LaHashem. Kodesh Hilulim LaHashem. That it should be holy Hilulim, your praises to Hashem. Malamit, and we'll discuss what that's referring to in Rashi in a second. Malamit, it teaches us, Shetunim Brach Lifnehem LeAchreihem. We derive from these words that you have to make a bracha before as well as after. Okay, so let's see what Rashi says on Kodesh Hilulim. Holy are your praises. Benetta Ravai Ksiv. So this is a pasuk in Sefer Vayikra, and it's talking about Netta Ravai. Now, we're more familiar with not Ravai the fourth year, but the first 3 years, namely, when a tree, you're not allowed to derive any benefit or consume any of its fruits. It's Arla, called Arla. After those 3 years, in the fourth year, you take those fruits to your Shalayim, and it has the very same status as Meiser Sheni. We know the Meiser Sheni, which occurs on years 1, 2, 4, and 5 of the 7-year Shemitah cycle. So you also bring 10% of your produce to your Shalayim. If it's too heavy, you can redeem it off the money and bring the money there. It's a way to be able to stimulate the economy. That's one of the interpretations of why that's done, why the Torah mandates us to do that. But anyway, during that fourth year, it's called Netta Ravai, and those fruits are brought to your Shalayim. Continuing in Rashi, Benetta Ravai Ksivu Mashma Shnei Hilulim. Why does it say Kodesh Hilulim? Hallel is singular. Hilulim is Lashon Rabim.
Before and after.
Right, exactly. It must be Ta'un Bechilaso. It's referring to when you are going to consume those fruits in your Shalayim, that you will need to praise Hashem on two sides of it. Referring to Kishitachlenu B'Shana Orvius, when you eat on the fourth year, Shumutar Bachila. At that point, once you're allowed to eat it, at that point you need to praise Hashem before and after. So therefore, this is a source. Therefore, that would mean that it's a Torah obligation to make a bracha before you eat. Now let's go back to the Gemara. So that's how we derive. We're going to end up saying this is not necessarily a proof, but at least at this point we think Kodesh Hilulim Hashem teaches us the Torah obligation to make a bracha before we eat. Mekan continues the Gemara. From here we can Amar Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva says also Adam Shiyitum Klum Kodim Shivarich. Rabbi Kiva says that we can derive from here that you're not allowed to taste anything before you eat. And the question is, so what is the extra chiddush? We just said that you have to make a bracha before you eat. So Rabbi Kiva goes a little bit further and says, Aser shiyitom klum. First of all, you're not allowed to klum. You can't, nothing, even a bite. And even shiyitom, even what's to taste, even a small taste is something that you're not allowed to do. Anything that you have, even a bite out of this fruit, requires a bracha. Kodesh Hilulim Hashem. So the only way, as we know, that one is able to derive from a pasuk something is only if there's vacancy. If that pasuk is empty, was not used for any other drasha. However, if we can show that the pasuk was used for another drasha, for something else, then you can no longer use it to teach us what we're trying to learn. So that's what the Gemara is going to ask now. B'hai Kodesh Hilulim Hachudasa. You're telling me the pasuk of Kodesh Hilulim Hashem is coming to teach us this. Ha'meboilei, but I'll show you, we need it for something else. Now again, it says Hilulim. Hilulim is two. Therefore, there's really two empty drushes that are that are available in this pasuk. But I'll show you, you need those two for something else. Chad, first of all, one, Yom Rachmana, the pasuk says that achle v'hoder achle, that a person could be achle, which means they could redeem it onto money, v'hoder achle, and then afterwards you're allowed to eat it. So we learn that Kodesh Hilulim, this extra, the word of Hilulim, also could teach us that you could redeem it onto money. How does, you learn that from the word praising. What does praising have to do with redeeming fruit onto money? So if you look in Rashi here, Hamaboyle, Hilulim is Lashin Chalulim, right? To like, Chalulim also means like to make something profane, but it means to exchange one thing to the next.
That's a stretch.
Well, that's the language, the hey and the ches. Well, that's a drasha. Halulim is Lashon Halulim. Right? So that's...
Even that is a stretch. So Halulim is... Chol is, you know, something void, that... Right, void. Why do you get to change it for? It's really a big stretch to say that, you know...
The reality is the concept of Meister Sheni we already derived. You can do it. And Netzer Ravai is so similar, so perhaps even with this little bit of a stretch, if you want to call it that, but the fact that there's this extra drush of these extra words of Hilulim must become just something, so it's come to compare it more to that which is similar to. That's one, though. There's still an extra slot. The Edoch, but yeah, the second, since it's written plural, so there's a second drasha, Davar Hatoin Shira Ta'on Chil. Something which requires you to sing over it, requires chil, requires it to be able to be redeemed or to be brought as on the fourth year as netter of I. B'sheino ton shira, something which you do not need to sing. Ein ton chil does not need to be redeemed or does not need to be brought to Yerushalayim. Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni Omer Rav Yonasan, the Omer Shmuel bar Nachmeni Omer Rav Yonasan. Menayin, how do we know she'ein omrim shira el al hayayin? We only sing on wine. Now, what does it mean? Who sings on wine? Maybe after you drink, you sing. Well, that's not what it means. Rashi says, Shira on wine is referring to the times of the Beis Hamikdash. If you look in Rashi, She'en Oimrim Halavim Shir Shel Karban B'Mikdash El Al Hayayin Kishmanasch Nischem Isbeach. We know that there is a Nisach Hayayin, the wine libation. That's the only that time in which they were engaged in the service of pouring the wine libation. That was the time in which the Levim engaged in song. So we're going to show that the only time, only wine, which requires shira, will require this extra concept of redeeming, being able to redeem it onto fruit. Unto money. Shneamar, as the pasuk says, the Gemara, "V'taymel hem hagefen hichdalti es tiroishi." I have withheld or have stopped tiroish is my wine. Hamasameach elokim v'anoshim, wine which brings joy to God as well as to men. So I can understand. Ima noshim is sameach. We all know what wine does to people; it makes them happy. Elokim v'mamasameach. How does wine make God happy? What do we do? God doesn't drink. What does that mean? Exactly. Right. In Mikan She'en Oimrim Shira El Al Yayin. The fact is, what Hashem derives simcha from the service of wine and through our singing to Him through the service of pouring the wine. And therefore, we see from here that the whole concept of redeeming onto money is specifically when it comes to wine. The point of all this is to tell us that the words Kodesh Hilulim Hashem is no longer available to teach us that we can make a bracha before, and therefore the Gemara is still going to be wondering how do we know when a bracha is said. The Gemara is going to again go further in discussing this idea of Netta Ravai and Kerem Ravai. It's a little bit complex, so we'll stop here.